Thank you. Our message is going to come from Matthew. It's a good thing I wrote that down. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. This is the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a... Let me start that over. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again at about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Excuse me. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. Do you have something here? I'm going to get a little bit of a refreshment break. Thank you. There's no pausing live TV, is there? All right. Sorry about that, folks. Here we go. So the question comes into play here, and this is a parable. Let's start there. It's a parable. Jesus is speaking to a group of folks, disciples included here at this time. And he goes in about, you know, speaking in parables quite often. And as we find in Jesus's parables, it's usually... he takes something that's very relatable to us or to the audience at that time, and he puts a spin on it in a way that changes the traditional thinking, right? Or it changes the traditional outcome that they would expect, and it then reveals this new understanding of how much God loves us or how God is expressing that love toward us. Well, that seems to be a pretty common theme through most of the parables that Jesus tells, or at least I always follow that kind of thought. And this is, for me, kind of the same line. There is some things that we need to think about, and there's some things that we need to kind of understand, but this in conjunction with the one that comes before it at the end of chapter 19, they kind of go hand in hand. That's about the the young man who has wealth and is following all the commandments, and he's asking for that other thing that he needs to fulfill so that he may have eternal life, that gift of grace. And it's sad for that person because he ends up going away sad because he cannot accept that gift of grace that God offers to him. So that's like a rejection of the gift of grace. This is more of a resentment of the gift of grace. In it, that because when it gets down to this question at the end that they ask about the pay, the people who were hired first are upset because the people who were hired last were made equal. And so they have this, they're upset about the fact that those folks who only worked about an hour received the same pay that they received. When I was thinking about this message and or this scripture, as I was reading through it several times this week, I thought to myself, you know, there was a time when I was younger, I used to work for a daily wage, a piecemeal wage, anyway. We used to have the opportunity to haul hay back when they were small, regular, what I call regular, you know, square bales, not these huge bales that you usually see today, but this was back when the square bale was still quite abundant, and several of our neighbors would ask for help a couple times a year to go and stack up these bales. And I worked with some other friends from high school, my cousins and whatnot, and we would do this a couple times a year, summer anyway. And I remember the going rate was, and this was 30 years ago, I don't know what somebody would pay today, but 30 plus years ago, it was 25 cents a bale. And that's probably a huge increase compared to some people who might be a little bit older than me and had the opportunity to do it. When they were a kid, you may not have gotten 25 cents a bale. But either way, 25 cents a bale, it takes a lot of bales to add up to any real amount of money. And then you ended up having to split that money. And usually how we got paid was the person who was oldest that picked up all the rest of us and drove us to the site to go do the work itself, whoever's pasture, they knew the person, and so that person would pay them, and then we would get our share based on the number of bales that we had the opportunity to participate in getting stacked onto the trailer, then unloaded into the barn. And that was what we did. And so sometimes you missed the morning because you had a dentist appointment or something you picked up at lunch, you know, and you got to finish out the day with them. Sometimes it was a couple day project, and you got only 1 day or 2 days of it, and somebody got 3 days of it. It just depended on how big the pasture was and how many bales needed to be picked up and how big our group was. But so sometimes we would always, or I shouldn't say sometimes, we'd end up always kind of splitting the money based on the opportunity you had to earn. So if you were only there for half of the day and you only got half of the opportunity to put away bales, right? So you only got half of the overall total when it came to your section. So you basically ended up, if you had a team of four people, you'd only get about an eighth of it instead of, you know, a quarter. But then we all had to pay a premium to whoever drove, right? Because they, you know, picked us up. They were the one who gave us the opportunity to earn. So we would give them a couple extra dollars to put back in their gas tank. We did this out of our sense of what we thought was right and fair and just when it came to these payments. The thing about that story or the what I'm expressing or sharing with you, that example, it's not really the same here, right? Because there was only, when we think about our understanding of what's fair or what's right, we understand that as Christians or as followers of God or faithful followers of God, we understand that our only sense of an understanding of what's right and wrong comes from that knowledge that we have of who God is in our life, right? God has taught us these things through Scripture. Our understanding of how we should behave and act towards one another comes from those teachings that God has given to us through the apostles, through his son, through all the disciples that come before us to be handed down to us. In all these years of humanity and trying to live in community with one another, we still get it wrong, right? Even today, we don't have everything right when it comes to what should be how we behave or how we treat one another. So we're still a work in progress when we think about what is right. So the scripture today brings up that question, right? Because the landowner says to the people, the second group he hires, he says, go into my vineyard and at the end of the day, I'll pay you whatever is right. And so what we get is this, we don't get that answer, by the way, right? We don't really have an answer to that question directly, what is right? But it brings up that thought for us, what should we think is right? What do we think is just? And then it also brings up the question of the two groups, the first, the second, or the last, whichever one you are, and that whole, you weren't the first, you're anybody else, right? Let's put them in two groups. Depending on which group you are, you're still dependent on the trustworthiness of the landowner to pay you at the end of the day, whether it's the normal daily wage or some portion of that. So thinking about that, there is this thought of even there in our story, in our parable, that there is this understanding that there is someone else that whose justice system these folks are even being subjected to, right? Their ideal of what worth is your work, your value that you're adding to the process. But the story really isn't about wages, is it? It's not really about that. It's about grace. It's about that grace, that free offer of grace that we all received. We've had that offer given to us, and sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no. Maybe we said no many times in our life until we finally said yes. But the thing here, the thought here, is those of us who had said yes early in life, are we those first ones hired? And then are we looking upon those who said yes later in life, accepted that gift of grace later in life? Are we looking on them with resentment? Or are we looking on them with rejoicing, right? Because the point is that all God's people at some point have to answer for themselves yes to that offer of grace. I was reminded of that thought of the person that is hanging on the cross next to Jesus, that one over, and one is ridiculing him on the one side, the other one is then telling that first person to stop, you don't know what you're talking about, we deserve to be here. This one doesn't. And then remember me when you come into your glory. And so Jesus grants him grace right then. That's when that person had the opportunity to accept the grace. If that person doesn't accept that grace there on the cross, we miss that opportunity and understanding of that story being shared with us all these years later to fully understand what that grace, that gift of grace really is. Yes, we may have accepted it earlier than some, and some may have accepted even before us, but the reality is this. Once we have that grace, that is our full daily wage, right? That normal daily wage. The grace that God gives us and offers us allows us to have that life eternal. It's what allows us to have the ability to, at some point, be in God's presence so that we may see God and rejoice in God's presence, dance before God, not just figuratively, but literally. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about last week about judging others, right? That judgment that we might have. Who are we to resent somebody else's accepting that grace? Because the point of all of this, the point of the reasons, the what drives us and motivates to come here each week is so that we may receive the grace, so that we can continue to offer that same grace. If we're not looking at it that way, if we're not rejoicing with those newly that's not the right word. If we're not rejoicing with those who have just accepted that grace, then we're getting it wrong, right? We're not thinking about it in the ways that we should be. If we're too much worried about what we're missing out on, if we feel like there's this limitation on the amount of grace that God has to give. So I think for us, the thing that we need to think about is when we're out there, when we're sharing our faith with others, that we should just continue to rejoice when they say yes. Right? For those that say no, we just repeat the process the next time we see them. Until they also say yes. And then we can rejoice with them as well. And that's the thing that makes the kingdom of God like the landowner who continues to go out and offer that grace throughout the day, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.